Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah. Edit audio.
Hello again, friends. We are glad that you've joined us for another episode of Well Adjusting. Woo! I'm super excited today to have Hannah on the podcast. Hannah is plugging along in college. She's doing great in classes and extracurriculars, but she keeps finding herself wildly overcommitted, which it's leading to overstress. Now, I'm pretty sure that overstress is not an actual psychological term, but I don't know, maybe it should be. Anyway, we're going to get into all that stuff that's underneath Hannah's need to say yes to every opportunity, like all the opportunities. Could it be as simple as FOMO? Maybe, but you'll have to keep listening to find out. So let's get into it. Hello, everyone. I'm Robin Hopkins, and this is Well Adjusting, where I talk to people about life stuff, but not in an NPR way. It's more like we're at the bar, having cocktails, getting into your business sort of way.
It's giving drunk NPR.
Oh, and producer Steph is here, too.
Hello.
Today we chat, well, when you're an overworker and overcommitter.
My name's Hannah. I'm a sophomore. I'm studying writing and rhetoric with a minor in communications. So today I'm here to talk to Robin about...
And Steph.
And Steph, of course. Can't forget Steph. I'm here to talk to Robin and Steph about some like balance issues that I've been having in my life. You know, I started a new job this semester, and throughout the course of the semester, I've been feeling a lot of like being pulled apart a bit. There have been weeks where I've had like a great rhythm and a great balance, and I've been hitting the routine and really getting into it. But some weeks I just kind of fall off the bike, and that like back and forth has been kind of rough to navigate.
Well, welcome to the falling off the bike club. You're at the right place, right?
I love that.
So can we talk a little bit about your experience in school leading up to this? Have you always felt sort of overwhelmed? Is this new? Like, tell us a little bit about, you know, you as a student or you as your like coping mechanisms.
So in terms of like me as a student last year, like coming in as a freshman, I was so proud of myself. I finished the spring with a 4.0, which was
that
like
a girl.
Yeah. So like I was super proud of myself. And, you know, in the fall, I was very like strict with like how I navigated my days, how my weeks were organized, like when I went to study and when I went to like had free time. And it was all very structured. And that structure like continued into the spring, which was really good because I had obviously like freshman fall year of college, like you're in a new pond.
Yeah.
You got to kind of tiptoe through it. So you go to events, you kind of see what you like. You make sure you're going to all of your classes. And so like in the spring, I came in with that really like awesome confidence. Like I know what I'm doing. I know how my schedule works. I know how I like my week to work. And I finished very strongly. And I was really excited about sophomore year. But towards the end of the spring, I applied for a job in our student government. And working the job so far has been great. But in the summer, like leading up to before I started the job, I was so nervous. I was nervous. I was very like anxious about starting the job and also taking 18 credits.
That's a full schedule.
That is a full schedule. And At the time, I was also going to be working a second job, which would also run on Fridays, that where I would be working with first-year students in a classroom. Mm-hmm. And, like, right as the semester was coming up, I was, like, planning out my, like, schedule and looking at how my week would be, and I was like, that is too much.
You're like, what have I done?
Yeah. So I ended up having to, like, reach out to the woman in charge of, like, the first-year, like, relations job, and I was like, I'm so sorry. I set myself up for this, and I would love to be invested in this in the future, but I cannot be a part of this right now because I don't have the time.
Right. Well, that's a great move that you did you looked at it and you recognized that your way of working, that was going to be too much. Did that relieve some of the anxiety? And I think also I still would love to hear if, like, it sounds like you're a very, I want to say, like, meticulous in terms of, like, scheduling and preparation. And so you took that transition from high school to college fairly easily. But has there been, like, a component of anxiety that goes alongside that, of being that meticulous and being that structured? Is there a pressure?
Yeah. So, like, I do get very nervous about, like, if I'm off by, like, an hour on my day. So, you know, either it's I was really tired and I wanted to sleep in for an extra hour, so I didn't get up when I was supposed to go, and now I have to shift my time back. So, like, if I was supposed to be at the library at a certain time in the morning, I have to push that hour back, and then that affects, you know, the amount of time I have to prep for my next class. So sometimes when I do need to take, like, a minute for myself, or when I need that extra hour of sleep because I was up late, then, like, I just feel like I'm running to catch up. And it's the worst.
Well, you feel like that because it sounds like you are. it sounds like Steph, when I first met Steph, she was doing, like, a presentation to a bunch of young people who maybe wanted to be editors. And she was talking about the career of being an editor. And I remember she said to folks, like, don't just take 40 hours a week and times it by your hourly rate, because she's like, then you're going to be working 75 hours a week because you also have to build in time, you know, non-billable hours for emails and whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking the comparison in your life is you took every available awake time and then you times it by 40 and you were like, I could do a thing here. I could do a thing here. And I'm just wondering, like, do you have any built-in time to be able to sleep in or to be able to just fuck around and, like, go to a bar with your friends or just go to a concert? Or, like, do you have built-in time for that? Or are you so scheduled that that doesn't exist?
I usually don't have a lot of time for that stuff during the week. My weekends look a little bit differently, but they still are, like, meticulously scheduled. Like, I have routines per the day. So, mm-hmm. like, on Saturdays, like, actually starting, like, last week, I had to set a rule for myself that on Saturdays, I'm not going to look at my homework.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
I'm not going to, like, check my email. I check my email on Sunday. So I, like, go out. If, like, my roommates are going out, then I go out with them. We go to town. We go to the farmer's market, and it's just, like, my day. If I need to do my laundry, then I can do it. If I don't want to do anything, then I don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
But then, like, on Sunday, everything also just kind of comes, like, crashing back at
me. You're setting yourself up for a Sunday night exhaustion and panic and, you know, because it's, like, it feels very all or nothing. Do you know what I mean? Like,
By
the way, I am a meticulous scheduler as well. But in that, I will schedule a lunch hour where I go fuck off and watch TV while I'm jamming some kind of a frozen Lean Cuisine in my mouth. You know, it's like, if you are a scheduler, play to your strengths and schedule some downtime during the week, because I don't think it's almost like that diet where you go, all right, I'm going to be really great for 6 days. And then on that seventh day, woo, like, one of two things generally happens. On that seventh day, you eat your face off so badly that moves the seventh day, then moves into the first day of the next week. Or it just sets up this very unhealthy rhythm.
I have two questions. First question, how did you get into this scheduling of your life? Like, is it a tool that you're using because of something else? Like, for example, I, you know, have a friend that has really bad ADHD in combination with, like, an anxiety disorder. And for them, scheduling out their day is the only way that they feel like they can manage both of those things. So is this, like, a tool that you've learned to help with something? Or is it mostly fueled by, like, an anxiety of not having enough time?
Good question.
That is a really good question. So I Like, my planning strategy kind of started in high school when they taught us how to use planners. And they
my high school did not teach us shit about shit.
Neither did mine.
Really?
Neither did mine.
Even in elementary school, I think, is when I remember earliest, they'd give us, like, big planners. You had to write out what you had to do. You had to go get your planner signed. So as I kind of, like, grew up with that tool, it really came to, like, really help me in high school. And then coming into college, I was still using my planner. But if I was walking, I couldn't just, like, pull my planner out of my bag and look at it. So I started using my phone and the, like, calendar app feature on that, because then, you know, if I was worried about, like, okay, wait, is my class at, like, 1:20 or is that 1 o'clock? Like, do I have time to go do something, or do I just need to go get ready for the next thing? It was just there and available for me to pull it out. So I just kind of meshed the two together. So now I use, like, my phone for, it's like in high school when they would, like, print out your schedule. That's, like, what my phone is. And my planner is, like, you have a paper due on Friday, you have a draft due Wednesday, and it's, like, that list of assignments.
So you have multiple planners.
It sounds like your planner mm-hmm. is your to-do list, and your phone is your blocks of time calendar.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, like, a really accurate synopsis of them.
And my second question is, so you said on Saturdays is sort of like your day where you're like, I'm not doing this shit. Like, I'm not looking at email or whatever it is. When you're having your Saturdays, do you feel good, or are you feeling like guilty or anxious or like an impending doom?
It's a little bit of both, because like when I get up in the morning and I'm like, okay, cool, it's Saturday, it's great. But then as I, like, get more awake and I'm like, what do I have to do today? I'm like, I don't have to do anything. And it's like, great. But then, you know, another part of me is like, I need to do something.
Yeah. Yeah.
You cleaned your dorm earlier this week, but I guess you can clean it again just because. It's just like that, like, nervous feeling of like, either you're not doing anything to be productive, or you're missing something that you could be doing.
Well, so that's what's, I think, so interesting. Like, on the surface, you're doing well with grades, you're fitting everything in. I mean, you're taking an extra class each semester, you have work that you're doing outside of it. I mean, you have an incredibly full schedule. And it's like, on the surface, I'm like, why am I telling you to make any changes? And you're like, this system works for me. So it's like, I'm hesitant. I don't want to be like, you know, tear that shit up, because I do think it works for you. But I also think, though, that especially like with Steph's question about Saturdays and what I'm saying about there not being balance in it, meaning like you might be so depleted that instead of Saturday being an enjoyment day, it's a like just putting enough food or energy back into you to make it through the next marathon. But the reason that I'm wanting to say something is because you are the one who's saying I have anxiety because of this. So I think it's like baby with the bathwater. Like, let's not throw out the whole thing, but like, let's make some adjustments. I would say, could you add in like 1 hour a day? Like, I know Steph sometimes forces herself to schedule lunch because otherwise she doesn't take care of herself. So like, could you put in 1 hour a day? Like, I'm blowing up Steph's spot about all her lack of self-care. I'm like, I'm doing it perfect over here. No, but like putting in 1 hour a day or whatever is manageable to you, that's either to sleep in or to like watch Instagram reels or TikToks or whatever, like, you know, so that. And then I also wonder, is there an experiment you could do where for like a couple of days you don't do anything, or even for part of the day? Because I know like, and the reason I'm suggesting this is because I struggled with, I took a month off this summer, and it was the first time I've ever taken a significant amount of time off, and I did not know what the fuck to do with myself. Like, I tried to be, don't nod so hard, Steph. She was like, yep. She was like, she's still emailing us. I tried to do this thing where I was like, all right, I'm going to work on my future casting work, the stuff that excites me. I'm going to do it from 9 to noon. And that just like did not work, because when I started, then every day felt like I was still a working day. And then I was like, I felt bad if I started later than 9. And it just, every control-y thing in me like came up. And I really quickly was like, I've got to change this. I have to approach this differently. And then I started doing on and off days, you know, just to try to balance it out. But so I just want to see you experimenting with things, whether it's like taking a whole day off, see if that also works for you, or whether it's to a half day, all of winter break, like I'll do one thing a day that's work related. And then the rest of the time I'm going to have for Hannah. Like, I don't know, but like, how does that sound to you about experimenting with it a little bit?
Honestly, my initial thought when you were like, oh, I took a month off. And I was like, if I took a month off of anything, I would be like riddled with like nerves.
Yeah.
But I think it's also like very timely. And I think it could be something like very possible for me to try out because we do have like winter break coming up.
Yeah.
Which coincidentally is a month long. So to parallel like your month off journey, I think it would be like really interesting to kind of see, just because I know that even when I was home, I was working. I was working at home. I was out of the house for most of the time and running around to see relatives. So even though I was home and I was supposed to be having like downtime, it still very much wasn't downtime. It was just like,
it was overscheduled time, even though it was, now I got to go see it. Because it sounds like as soon as you have free time, you're like, wow, I better clean. I better do all the things that I haven't gotten to. And I just, like, is this a family trait?
I honestly kind of think it is. My parents kind of, like, scheduled themselves differently. But I know that when I was young, there was always, like, something going on or something that we had to do. Whether it was, like, we're going to go see your cousin, or even if it was, well, like, we need to go split wood for the furnace. So like there was always kind of something going on. And if it wasn't like a chore, then it was also just homework.
Yeah.
Homework, school project, something.
Well, that's what's coming to me is it doesn't feel like there's choice in what you're doing. You know, it's like we met Hannah through another podcast I host called Dear Headspace, and you had written in about the practice and how you could, you know, use mindfulness. And I think there's a combination of the mindfulness stuff and then actually just stuff you've got to implement. So it's like I still stand by what all the teachers said to you in that question, which is, you know, to work on your meditation practice and try to build it in. Because I do think that's helpful, too, for the anxiety and for like bringing things down or talking to somebody for that, too. But it's the thing that keeps coming up for me is like it just feels like there's no choice. Like you must plan. If you don't plan, there's anxiety. And listen, I struggle with this, as does Steph, very much. And sometimes I'm white knuckling it through and I'm like, I'm just looking for the moments of being like, okay, I'm anxious. And like, it'll come up for me around like my to-do list. And I'll be like, oh my God, at like 3 a.m, I'll start cycling. And then I recently started having a really specific talk with myself where I would say, okay, Robin, is there ever a day where you didn't get the stuff done? And then I'm like, no, like I always get it done. So this is just wasted energy. And sometimes that catching myself helps me take some deep breaths and then just go, okay, I'm going to go back to sleep now. And then I'll wake up and I'll do one task at a time. Just one.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hey, friends. I wanted to tell you about a podcast that I think you are going to like. Okay, Bill Burke is the host of the weekly podcast Blue Sky, where he interviews individuals tackling the world's most significant challenges with hope and optimism. Sounds right up your alley, right? Exactly what we thought. All right, it's brought to you by the Optimism Institute, which was also founded by Bill, to sprinkle a bit of positivity on your view of the future, especially with the media often showing us just the gloomier side of things. On Blue Sky, you're going to hear optimism about topics on everything from climate change and AI to homelessness and immigration and more. And they're offering diverse perspectives. You're going to finish each episode feeling brighter about the world and optimistic about our collective future. The name Blue Sky, well, it's inspired by a meditation prompt symbolizing the idea that beyond the clouds, there's always blue sky, encouraging a broader perspective. The Blue Sky podcast is available for listening on all major podcast platforms, inviting everyone to look beyond the clouds and embrace a more hopeful view of the future. I'll tell you what, I'll be listening.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
I have two things I want to say, and I don't know which one to do, but because we were just talking about like meditation practice and mindfulness, I'm going to say this. When I first started freelancing, I was working a full-time job, a part-time job, and I was finishing one school course, and I was freelancing, trying to build my business. So, like, absolutely no chill. We all know I have no chill, but I was like doing all of the things. And so I had to be really regimented. But I was listening to like a podcast and it was talking about productivity and like the idea that people are productive at different times of the day in different ways. And there's like different kinds of productivity. And so I was like, well, I'm probably always going to work for myself in some capacity. And so I want to like figure this out for myself. And so I started doing this thing where before I would do the work for myself, because I didn't control my schedule at the bar or whatever, I would do like a check-in, like a body check-in, and be like, okay, like, do I feel like I am going to be productive? And I do think that is a skill. Maybe not productive, like how am I feeling right now? And like, do I want to be doing this? I think having that singular moment before you start doing something can be really important just in terms of like deciding like, oh, I'm actually hungry, or I actually don't think I'll be good at this right now, you know, and it can actually make you more productive.
I just want to say what I love about what you're saying, Steph, is you're telling Hannah to like check in with her body and with her gut instincts of where she is in the day versus being, you know, tied to the calendar or in addition to or in accompaniment with it. And I think that's really great advice.
It's hard to do, but that is the choice, right? You're being able to make the choice then. And you don't have to always make the choice, but at least you get in the habit of like, I don't always, I'm like, oh, I'm hungry. And I don't make the decision to like go eat lunch, you know, because I'm like, I have to get this done. But at least then at the end of the day, I'm like, okay, well, I did check in and I did know that and I made that decision. And it kind of like puts the power back in your body or something, you know, like you made the choice to do that. It wasn't just like a mindless decision that happened to you. But I also,
you had a second,
I want to ask a question, because when Robin said, like, I took a month off, your face, Hannah, was like, oh, my God, I just saw a ghost like in this library that I'm recording in. And I was like, oh, like something happened and nothing happened. That was just your reaction. So, I mean, something did happen inside of you. But I guess I want to know, you described it as like I would be riddled with anxiety. What is that anxiety for you?
I think for me, it's the like, you have things that you could be doing, but you're purposely like not doing them. Like,
but what happens if you don't do them? What's underneath that, Hannah?
Failure. Straight up.
Yeah.
Or it's just the feeling of like, oh, I could have done this then to make myself less stressed now.
So, and you that, add a healthy dose of punishing yourself on top of it. Add
a girl. 100%. 100%. 100%. It's like the icing on the cake.
Yeah.
It's they're just such a natural pairing.
Yeah.
But the failure, like, is it relating to school and work? Like, failure that, like, I'm not going to have the career, or what is that for you?
For me, like, as it's, like, sitting with me right now, it's, like, most directly tied to school. Winter break is coming up and, you know, like everyone expects me to, well, like by everyone, I kind of mean like partially my family and like partially myself is like, I have a job on campus, but you know, everyone's like, go look for the internship, go look for this, like go get the experience. And the thought of not like actively working towards that or not working on like a project that I have just seems like I'd be letting myself down. I'd be letting like everyone down, and I wouldn't be setting myself up for like this great future success that everyone wants. Like coming out of college.
Everyone wants for you or everyone wants in general?
I guess both. Cause like everyone, I think, especially like some of the like students and like friends that I have in college, everyone wants coming out of college. They want that like great career. They want to feel secure in what they're doing, and they want to feel like they haven't failed, or yeah, that they like, they want to know that they have a purpose.
But and you know what's interesting though is you've collapsed two things, right? There's the disappointment of like you may be disappointed in yourself or your family or like maybe societal disappointment. But you do understand, like, even if you graduated, even if you were like four credits short and never graduated, I don't get the impression you wouldn't go on to be successful. Like that part is a little bit of a, like when you're in the fear and is a narrative versus mm-hmm. what's definitely, you know, true. So that's why I feel like you're in the fear. And what if you played out the worst case scenario? Like, so I don't know, you didn't graduate. And so like, what's the mm-hmm. worst case scenario? And then is there space in that? If you, is there, you know what I'm saying? Is there space mm-hmm. in thinking that way of just bringing yourself over to worst case scenario or bringing yourself over and being like, it's all going to be okay.
Not going to lie, I haven't touched worst case scenario thinking because I don't like it.
Don't do it. Don't do it if it's bad for you. I don't want you to do anything that would traumatize
no.
you.
No, but I think it raises like a really good question, because I mean like the scenario that I always run back to is like I graduate and then like I don't have something like secure, or I'm not like secured after graduation, which I know is like a very common thing because – you know, you're coming out of college, you have like student loans to pay off, and you need to find like somewhere to live. And like, there's so much insecurity that like just thinking about it makes my stomach rumble with nervousness.
I used to get so mad because my parents would say this thing to me, like, some of the most successful people I know still don't know what they want to do when they're older. And I was like, shut the fuck up. Whatever. Yeah. I'm sorry. But like, that's so annoying. And like, now I'm like, okay, I'm like 34. And I'm like, looking back, I'm like, I graduated with a fine arts degree. I worked a bajillion jobs. Podcasting wasn't even a thing. And now I own a production company. Like, that was never on my radar. And it might not be, like, there might not be podcasts in 20 years. Like, I have no idea. So, like, I guess that insecurity, like, I felt so much in college and I still feel all the time. And the only way that I am able to combat it in myself is to be like, what are the things that have proven that I'll be okay? And all of those things are not external. Those things are all internal. Like, I'm a scrappy ass bitch. I'm smart and I'm kind. Like, those are the things that I can come back to. And those are things that are like my core values and my core truth. And I know that I'll be okay. And like, I know I said this on another episode of this and it's a little corny, but like, you know, building a home or like building like your security within yourself is the only way that I have found to be able to like calm the like idea that there's so much insecurity around my future and like maybe I won't even have a house to live in, you know, like all of those thoughts I still have all the time, but I'm constantly on like a hamster wheel of getting more things, like getting a nicer house or living in a different place, and I still have the anxiety. So
I'm
like
moving the goalpost. I'm a champion at
yeah
that.
Like it's so silly, but I'm in the same place as you, and I've been there since college, and the only advice that I have is like to, you know, come back to the things that you hold true inside you and build that security.
Yeah. Well, that's why I say that some of it is strategies And some of it is just dealing with, like, it sounds like that's maybe your preset. It could be like where you come from. It could be the way you were raised. You know, mine was a reaction to trauma, as was Steph's. So it's like, it could be any number of these things, but to a certain extent, it doesn't matter. You are who you are. So it's like, what strategies can you try that might help you release some of the anxiety? Are you talking to anyone? Like, I love that you're, you know, working a meditation practice, but are you talking to someone? Or in the past, have you, and do you find that helpful if money's an issue in terms of like paying for a therapist, or is there on-campus support? Like, what can you do if we are who we are to a certain extent? We can grow, we can, you know, improve ourselves, we can make strides in different directions, but we are like, the hard wiring is built. Like, I look at my two kids raised in the same house and they are completely different people. So some of it is at birth of just, you know, who you are as a person, your own little spirit. So if that's the case, you know, what can you do to support yourself? So there was a question I asked in the middle of that, apologies, but it was like, are you talking to anybody? Do you consider that?
So I have for a little bit. Shout out to the counseling center here at Pace. They slay. I have for a little bit, just mainly in like responding to like some family stuff that I've had going on. But another like person that I like really love to talk to is like one of my best friends. She like, she knows me better than myself sometimes, which is just really funny because I could be sitting across from her in like a coffee shop and she'll like look at me and she'll be like, what are you thinking right now? And I'm like, why are you saying that? And she's like, because I'm getting the vibe that you're kind of anxious. And I don't think that you have anything to be totally anxious about right now. So, like, what's going on? And I'm like, oh, you got me.
Isn't that nice when someone can pick that out for you and tell you were able to for yourself?
Yeah.
It's really nice.
The last time she visited was for her birthday. And I had, like, worked with my roommates to, like, surprise her with a cute little thing. And I was very nervous about, like, her, like, getting to campus, getting her, like, parking pass, like, credentials, whatever, and then, like, having everything be organized at the dorm room. And even after, like, everything was flawlessly executed, flawlessly fine. But even afterwards, she was like, is something still on your mind? And I was like, I'm just really nervous that, like, you're not going to have a good time and that we didn't do enough. And she was like, girl, you literally, like, knocked my socks off. She was like, I was surprised. I didn't even know this was happening. Sometimes I, like, can kind of catch myself getting caught up in, like, being too invested in the, like, vibe of an environment and really, like, in tune of, like, how people are feeling and, like, what I need to do to either adjust myself or adjust the situation to make it better.
So you're just aware of other people and their emotions and where they're at and, Yeah.
And it's a good thing. Like, I love that I can do that because it helps me in my classes and it helps me at work. But sometimes, like, it just gets a little too much.
Yeah. Well, you know, I want to say this, Hannah, and this is like the old mom in me, is like, you know, I think that part of college is a safe place to learn the beginnings of adulting. And you're still tethered to your parents or your guardians in some way. And you are figuring out who you are and what you want to be in the world. And I think you should go easy on yourself because I think that you are already, I'm going to say about 27 million times more aware than I was last year. So, you know, at your age to already understand like how you work well, you know, that your anxiety is present, when it's present, what it looks like, and learning how to communicate with your family and setting boundaries. Those are all just lifelong skills that you need and that you already have a jump on, probably most of your classmates. So I think you should be kind to yourself and gentle with yourself. And then just, I would approach this like exploration. There's nothing wrong. You are exactly where you are supposed to be and you're doing great. So like maybe if it's possible to take some of the weight of it, I need to fix this and approach it like, okay, well, this is a thing that's going to probably be with me for a bit. And let's see what we can do about it. You know, I don't know if that opens anything for you, but, you know, we talk regularly about like lifelong issues we have. Like, I just keep thinking of the parallel of the way you're approaching this, of the fear and my fear around money. And it's because I was like, we didn't have money. And I saw my mom break down about money all the time. And then it left me in this place of like, I will never have enough money. I will never be secure enough. And all I can do now is just catch myself when that comes up and make an adjustment and go, I'm safe. I've got plenty of money. I'm not 12-year-old Robin. And so just continuing to like give yourself space to learn yourself.
Yeah. I love that you like identified the thing that was so lovely about your best friend was that they could call out when you were anxious. And that's a similar thing as like just like checking in with yourself and being like, okay, how am I feeling right now? You know, like it's nice when your friend gets to do it, but it's even more nice when you can do it for yourself.
Yeah. I wonder if journaling would help you. Do you do any journaling? I know that helps me identify anxiety. Writing it helps a lot.
I do try to fill up like a notebook a month. And I like to think that I have two different kind of writing practices. I have like my journal where like I carry it with me in case something comes up and I'm like, I just need to write this down because I think I might forget it or it's just bothering me and I need to give it like a space that's outside of inside of me. And then I have like a more kind of like creative practice where, you know, this week, specifically today, like yesterday and today, I like challenged myself because I've been beating myself up a little bit about the lack of time that I spend actually writing creatively and like working on stuff that I like. Because I had like a really good like habit and practice of like sitting down for like a half hour and just kind of going for it or like working on something. But I fell out of that in the last month, like 2 months or so. Because everything like picked up and I just felt like I was in like a little bit of panic with like getting all of my work done and everything. So I tried to bring that back today and it felt really nice. And then I was like, is this really going to last? Am I going to be able to like keep this up?
I'm a big fan of that one as well. I'm not consistent. I'm going to fall off the wagon. All those not helpful thoughts.
Yeah.
I mean, when Robin asked you if you wrote, if you journaled, you said, I have a journal that I try to fill once a month, which is just giving, like, I don't know how to explain this eloquently, maybe, but it's like giving yourself like a goal for something that's supposed to be taking away anxiety. Like you're giving yourself the chance to fail at something that is a tool to help you feel good.
Yeah. And honestly, I think it's cool that you said that because now I see it. And that makes me realize that I do that. Like, I think I do that with, like, little things, too, even if it's, like, something small and school-related or even if it's, like, something that I want to do somehow. It's, like, even if it's just, like, oh, I have to catch the shuttle to go to town at 2:15. If I don't catch it, then...
then I'm X, Y, and Z, or then X, Y, and Z is going to happen. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, like, everything is, like... something I can pat myself on the back for or like won't
or beat yourself up for. I want you to approach this in a much more gentle way and maybe start to consider saying to yourself, look, oh, I'm tired today. I'm going to go gentle today and have it not be a goal. And all of these things that we're talking about, you're going to start them. You're going to stop them. It's going to work. Then you're going to stop for whatever reason. You get out of a habit. Then you come back to it. That's the practice is the starting again. And that's the connection with the mindfulness work too, where like why the Headspace app is such a good, you know, I think tool because it's like just starting again, but maybe trying to approach it without like, you know, I'm famous for being like, how do you win? Like if it's not a game, like I don't want to be doing it, but like I have to catch myself and be like, I'm just take it easy today, whatever that looks like for me. Mm-hmm. And I fail sometimes, and sometimes I have great, wonderful off days, but it's, you know, it's a practice.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you.
I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I've noticed, just speaking of journaling, that you're taking some notes while we're talking. Are you to-doing?
No, I'm not. I promise. This is actually like something that I do even when like I talk to my friend or when I go talk to my therapist is like, she always tells me I'm a good student, and I sit there like with my journal or my notebook, and like anything that she says that like stands out to me or like something that I don't think I'll remember later, I just jot down. So that's what that has been. It's not to-doing. I to-do'd this morning.
I just want to say, like, Robin said this earlier, but you are like an extremely thoughtful person in general, especially for your age, even just in like analyzing what you're about to say and like speaking about yourself and reflecting while we're talking in this conversation. It's obvious that you're like doing that work. So I want to first of all say that to you, because I don't know if anyone else is saying that to you, but it's like very cool. Uh-huh. And you're very cool. But also there is so much, and this is something I have to tell myself all the time. I literally feel like I'm talking to like myself because I have all of the same problems. So like every piece of advice, I'm like, I can't say this because I suck at this too. But the like idea that you can learn a lot from things that are outside, like you can learn a lot from getting your essays done and your papers written and going to your classes on time and writing notes and like doing all these things that are like to-do list things. You can learn probably more about yourself from like being in the moment and playing or like analyzing the world around you and like actually like being yourself and your body in situations. And I find that so hard because it's not as like checklist, I did it, you know?
Yeah. But in so many ways, you've got the hard work already done. Yeah. You're already nailing school and listing and knowing how to work. It's really just reminding yourself to chill the fuck out. I mean, it's like there's nothing worse than when you're in an argument with someone and they tell you to relax. It's literally what I'm suggesting. But I'm saying the same thing to myself as well. Like, Robin, relax.
Like, and you're like, fine. You're fine.
Everything's fine, you know? And it just, it's like getting the rubber band and snapping your wrist. Like when people try to quit smoking, they snap. And that's a little mean. And I don't think you need to do that. But I want some kind of nice equivalent of like
a check-in.
Oh, I'm there. Yeah, a check-in is nice equivalent. Mm-hmm. But like, oh, I'm there. Okay, I'm going to take some deep breaths. Or like I just said to myself yesterday, because I felt like I was all bunched about something. And I decided, I was like, I'm going to put my Apple Watch on, which is not on. So high success, but this is what I decided I was going to start doing yesterday. Put my watch on, and when I feel like I'm about to make an action that's not good for me or I start feeling away, I'm going to do the breathe, the 1 minute breathe on my watch, and then try to make a next right action. Try is all I can do.
Yeah.
And I think that's all any of us can do is just keep trying and pick ourselves up and try again.
Yeah.
It's almost like stinks there isn't better advice.
I know. It's like, try to be in the moment. Like,
yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. Feel your feelings.
Breathe once in a while.
It's all going to go forward.
Yeah.
It's all going to go forward whether you're anxious or not. So anytime you're able to do a tool that brings you down, you won.
And you'll be fine in life because of who you are, not because of what you've done.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, that's so real. Like, I feel like I could get that tattooed on my forearm.
Oh, don't get anything I've ever said tattooed on anything ever. I do want to say that, Robin, at one point you were like, Hannah, you're doing fine. And in my, like, because I feel like I'm like in my own therapy session right now and these are exactly my problems, I was like, oh my God, thanks, Robin.
Because we're all the same like, person.
Oh, wow, like, thank you so much for that kind feedback.
Well, I want to say thank you so much for like joining us today. And I love the connection of like from dear headspace to while adjusting and like, and that, you know, two sides of an issue from a really mindful perspective and then from a more we're all kind of in it together perspective. And I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you're doing great. You're doing great.
You are. Incredible.
everyone in their head just said, oh my God, thank you.
Literally, like with the hair talk. Like that's with
the, oh my you. God, thank you. All right, Steph. So obviously this was one of those episodes where you and I were nodding so hard that I have neck pain. So I was thinking that it's time for us to hold ourselves to, I don't know, the same standards that we're asking from our guests. Because I do think sometimes we might skate on the things that we promise during episodes. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm outing us. So I wanted to bring in our editor extraordinaire, Maria.
Hey.
And she is going to host a game to see if we can identify what's like, say, just the right amount of commitment or what's like a Steph Robin, aka wildly overcommitted moment. Do you think we can do this, Steph?
I think I can be honest, but I don't know how good I am at giving the right commitment.
You're so overcommitted. Okay. I love how you're already hedging your bets and we haven't even started. Okay.
I want to win, though, so.
Well, obviously. What's the point of playing if you can't win? Take it away, Maria.
Okay, so I think we're going to hopefully start with an easy one. Your sibling just got out of hospital and needs someone to pick up some groceries, but you're in a rush to get dinner plans. Are you going to go get the groceries for them?
Yeah, I'm getting the groceries. I'm going to be overcommitted on this. We got a person in the hospital. You got to get the groceries and you're going to maybe be a few minutes late.
Yeah, I'm also going to get the groceries. The only thing I could think of is that my siblings are not in the same city as me. So I may see an opportunity where I went to dinner, but before going to dinner, even though I was late, I like ordered groceries for them that were delivered.
Mm. Oh, that's the just the right amount of commitment. Us trying to pull it off is the wildly Steph and Robin over.
Yeah, I'm like flying to Miami and I'll make dinner still.
I feel like we've started high already. Yeah. Let's ramp it up. Okay, so what if they need the groceries, but they're really fussy and they like one thing from one store and they like something really specific from another one that's like across town? Are you going to both? Steph, are you placing two orders and coordinating delivery somehow?
I'm placing two orders, and if they want a few things from different ones and I'm running the errands, I'm going to the store with the most, and then I'm placing an order from the other.
Wow.
See, now I'm already, I don't know if this is because you've put it in family, I'm already like, you're asking too much of me. I just like reverted to 17-year-old Robin who is like emotionally leaving the family. That's what I just did with that question. So I think it was too much commitment for me.
Okay. So we're just not committing to anything now.
I think I just quit the game in the middle of it.
Okay, so we're pivoting away from family. So let's see what happens with your commitment levels here. Your boss has asked you to do a presentation. So you already have quite a busy schedule, but they've hinted if it goes well, you could be in line for promotion. Are you taking it on?
Oh, absolutely. Obviously.
100%.
And I think, and Steph, I think you got to agree with me here. I believe that that's just the right amount of commitment. That's not wildly overcommitted. That's like ambitious, driven, and we're doing shit.
Yeah, I would do my work all, and I would also do the presentation, and I would absolutely slay both.
Let's ramp it up. So your boss has asked you to do the presentation, but you have to travel to do it for the weekend, and you're going to miss your partner's birthday. What are we saying now?
Oh, shit, Maria.
Rubs hands together.
I would still do it.
I would still do it. And it is a Steph and Robin wildly overcommitted.
It is.
Because it's like we're 100% throwing our partners under the bus.
I would still do it. I would throw my partner under the bus, but I would make up for it by also overcommitting to whatever I'm doing to make up for it.
Oh, yeah. I'd be like, I'll make this the best birthday ever.
Yeah. Like there would be like a band at the door when they woke up in the morning with like mimosas. And then like I wouldn't be there, but I would show up the next day with like.
I would send my friends there.
Yeah, like I would plan the whole thing. So not only am I like doing a presentation when I don't have time, I'm now also throwing like an elaborate gala that I won't attend.
On top of all that, I would also somehow turn it around. And if Mary didn't make me feel that what I did was okay, I'd probably be like, listen, this is a really big opportunity. Like, why aren't you supporting me? So, I mean, I think I would definitely turn this into like the worst birthday ever.
You're the victim.
But I mean, it is a big opportunity. It was a big acting job that I in my head. That's what just happened.
Yeah.
I got to take it.
Okay, next one. Your friend wants you to photograph their wedding and get some video if you can and do a speech. What are you saying?
I'm saying, don't you pay people for that? Like, I'm a good friend. I'm probably still going to do it, but I'm going to be resentful about it.
I would do it, but I would try to ask my friend to delegate because I don't think I'm the best photographer or videographer. And honestly, I would, like, if it was a budget thing, I would probably be like, is this a budget thing or do you really want me to do it? Because if it's a budget thing, like, that'll be my wedding gift to you. I'll buy Ooh. This.
Oh, nice. I have to say, I'm really sad right now because I think Steph is going to win the game because all I was thinking was like, what kind of fucking friend would ask me to do this? Am I a guest or am I not a guest at this wedding? So I already know I've lost. I'm like, because I'm resentful already.
Robin would do the speech, but only for the acting credentials. She'd be like, can I'd be someone like, film it?
I'd be like, do I get full reign for creativity? Can I do whatever I want to do? Because I'd like to do a type five yes. in there. Or will.
It's a full stand-up set and you like link to your IMDb after.
Hey guys, I just want to take a moment to play my sizzle yeah. reel. If there's any agents in the off, I'm currently booking and available, especially during my wife's birthday.
Okay, so I think I know how this one's going to go, but what happens if your friend wants you to organize their wedding?
Oh. Again, I'm going to do it, but I think I'm going to be resentful. Like, I think it's a lot to ask, but I'm probably going to do it.
I don't think I would do it. I think that's my limit.
That's your limit?
I have respect for that.
I think I would probably really help them. Like, I would organize. I'd do, like, the spreadsheeting and, like, give them options, but I wouldn't actually yeah. book anything. I mean, full transparency, I found out about the bachelorette that we're going on, which is in a different country, approximately 3 weeks before we were going on it. And I've still planned the entire trip and also committed oh my to goodness. Flying to Ireland. So that's my level of commitment. No one asked me to do any of that. I just took it upon myself.
I think all we're doing is proving that, like, Hannah needed to be interviewing us yeah. because we are wildly overcommitted. And also that maybe I'm a douchebag, like that I'm just resentful all over the place of how much I do. And I think we're proving that I'm going to lose this game again. And I think this game is now rigged because I lost the last time we played the game with Dr. Money. And now I feel like I'm losing, like I'm like Donald Trump talking about how the system is rigged.
Loser, loser.
You get offered 2 freelance gigs. I know this is going to hit you too. You get offered 2 freelance gigs, but both full-time for 1 month. You reckon you can probably squeeze them in if you get up early and you go to bed late and basically have no social life and they'll look really good on your resume.
Wildly overcommitted and I'm doing
it. Oh, I'm 100% doing it.
Okay, so kudos to Hannah because she turned down that extra gig when she realized that she couldn't do it.
Oh my God, we're
once,
giving so. Hannah advice and we're so much worse than her.
Yeah. Okay, last one. Bit of a curveball. You have a full schedule as per, but your therapist says you need to spend 2 hours a week doing something just for you. Are you committing to carving out that time?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, I'm proud of you both.
Oh,
I thought if it was
so
something
much.
For you, you wouldn't commit to it.
No, I would do it.
Oh, yeah, no. I was already, like, in my head, I was already at the Alamo with an old-fashioned watching a movie, eating the chips and queso. I'm on it.
2 hours. That's nothing. I got that. I can yeah. schedule that in now. As long as I can schedule it in, I'm good.
As long as I can commit to yeah. it, then
as
yeah,
long as
I'm
I can overcommit.
As long as I can overly commit to it, I'm in.
As long as I get a present at the end of it, acknowledging how well I did, great.
So we've learned that you both do thoroughly overcommit to things that you don't need to, but also you will take that bit of time and commit to yourself. So that's good.
Listen, I would like to put in a formal complaint to the judge here because I do feel that some of these were emotionally loaded. And how are we going to say no to best friends? Like, we just have to say we have to say yes. I mean, we have to.
Yeah.
I mean, the judge is you, Robin. I have not done any judging on this.
I voted against myself. Like,
yeah. The moral of the story is that both of us are probably losing at life because we are overdoing way too much.
Or are we winning, Steph?
Well, I mean, if we're asking us, we're winning. But I think maybe everyone else would disagree.
All right. Well, I think it's clear from this game that we have absolutely no ability to normally commit to something. But hey, Steph, to me, the win is that we're super great at overcommitting at everything. All right, no, we can do better. Okay, we're working on it, yeah. everybody. Okay, we're working
we
on
better.
It. All right, now before we go, I just want to say so many thanks to Hannah for joining us today. Look, you got this, Hannah. You're doing great. Now go take a nap or something. And I also want to say thanks to Maria for not just being our amazing editor, but also for making us feel stupid and too busy. Thanks a lot, Maria.
for more Robin, and you may need that. You probably don't need it, but like if you do, you can follow me at Real Rob Hops on all the platforms, all the socials, as the kids today say.
Well Adjusting is an Edit Audio original series. It's exec produced by Steph Colburn and Robin Hopkins. Our producer and editor is Maria Passingham, and our production manager is Kathleen Speckert. Thank you to the entire Edit Audio team and to you for listening. Oh, hey, before you take out those AirPods, this show is just for entertainment. If you are in need of help, please reach out to a professional. Go ahead and get that help. You deserve it.